I want to look into Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 19, if you want to look there. We're looking at the first 10 verses of Luke chapter 19. Yes, Luke chapter 19. We've all had times in our lives when we thought no one loved us and no one wanted us around and, no one cared about us. All of us have experienced, I'm sure, some of those times from time to time in our life. Might be because we felt different, because we didn't look just like everybody else, or, we might be because we had done something we shouldn't have done, or 100 other reasons, Could be because we didn't have the same talent somebody else had. Same ability somebody else had. The biggest reason is because Satan wants us to feel worthless. He wants us to feel unloved and unwanted. For this reason, we have a record number of suicides today because people feel like there's just nothing to live for. Nobody really cares. They're rejected, worthless, unloved. They just don't fit in. I'm here to tell you this morning that you are loved. Don't ever let Satan tell you, convince you that you're worthless, that God created you in His own image, so you're not worthless, because God don't make any junk. We're all created in His very own likeness, in His image. Genesis Chapter 1, verse 27 tells us, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female He created them. God don't make junk. So don't ever let Satan convince you that you're worthless. It don't matter that you don't look like someone else or don't have the same abilities, the same calling, the same talents that somebody else has. God created you as a unique individual for a unique purpose that He has called you to do, with special abilities and talents that are unique to you. So you are important. This morning I want to bring your attention to a man who was different. He didn't look like everybody else, and He had some faults, but Jesus still loved him. His name was Zacchaeus. Anybody remember that name, Zacchaeus? We know that he was short in stature. Luke chapter 19, beginning verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little in stature. He was a little bitty feller. He was shorter than everybody else. I was pretty short and didn't actually start getting my height until my senior year in high school. I use that excuse for a lot of things. I couldn't play basketball because I was too short. And now that I've gotten involved more with the sport since I've been here at Laurel Hill, I found out that was a poor excuse. I've seen some of those little short guys that almost run between the legs of the taller guys, but they just, and make fantastic ball players. But that was my excuse because I was too short, Zacchaeus was short. And I'm sure because of his height, he probably was ridiculed from time to time. There are probably a lot of short jokes that he heard, kind of like blonde jokes and short jokes and tall jokes. And, we got jokes for everybody, whatever the particular situation might be. And a lot of times we use them in a negative way to try to cut somebody down. I'm sure Zacchaeus had been cut down because of his short stature. Called all kind of names and all that. So he was different. A lot of us are different in one way or the other. Maybe we're a little shorter or a little taller. For one reason or another, we're different. We're all different. None of us are exactly the same. That's why they can take your DNA now and find out who you are, because we're all different in some way or another. And so God didn't make us all. He didn't have a cookie cutter that He made us all exactly the same. And aren't we thankful for that? Aren't you glad you're not like somebody else that you know? You know, we all sometimes want to be like somebody else. But God made us just like we are. And He's got a purpose for us just like we are. So be happy in the way He made you and the way He has equipped you and talented you and the way He's blessed you, because He has a purpose for your life, because He loves you just like you are. He loves you. Not only was Zacchaeus different in the, because he was short of stature, he was different from a lot of people because he was a chief tax collector. He was not only a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. So obviously he was over other tax collectors. And there was a problem with the tax collectors. They were not liked by anybody. You know, people didn't like them because, why? Because they overcharged people. You know, they actually were thieves because they were charging people more than they should have been charging them. And he was over those tax collectors. And so we don't know, you know, if he was getting some extra because, you know, he was over them and he was requiring them to give him a certain percentage of what they charged. We just know that they were overcharging people for the taxes, and the people didn't like that. So they were despised by the people because they were robbing them. Several weeks ago, I received my trim notice, which tells what my proposed tax bill is for this year. And as I looked at that, I noticed what I was being assessed for fire protection this year. Last year, my assessment was right at $100. And when I looked at that assessment this year, I realized I was being assessed at $519.70 for fire protection. I thought, that's not a little ridiculous. That's just absolutely ridiculous. And so, fortunately, I noticed it and was able to contest it and get it lowered back closer to what it was last year, still with a pretty good percentage of increase, a little bit more than I still feel like it ought to be, but a whole lot less than the $500-something that it was assessed at. Unfortunately, most of the people didn't notice that and they're not able to get an answer on the phone when they called, and were not able to get that corrected, and we only had a few short days to a couple weeks, I think, to get that, to contest it, to be able to get it corrected. And so many people are subject now to having to pay an enormously exaggerated amount for fire service this year in the area that surrounds the city of Laurel Hill. It's outside the city limits. If you live in the city limits, you don't have to worry about that. But if you live outside the city limits in North Okaloosa County, you might want to stay on top of that. This is similar to what Zacchaeus and the other tax collectors were doing back in Jesus' time. They were overcharging. They could pretty much do what they wanted to do, I guess. There wasn't the procedure that we have in place now to be able to contest it. And so they just had to pay it. And so he was short in stature. He was a chief tax collector, which meant that he was robbing people. He was a thief. And so he was not well liked by anybody. He was rich. He was rich because he'd been stealing from people in the form of exaggerated tax bills. And because of this practice, again, the people really didn't like him. And they didn't like any of the other tax collectors. As a matter of fact, they despised the tax collectors. There was no way that he could be saved, right? I mean, with all that sin, the way many people as he had stolen from, how could he be forgiven? You know, he deserves death. He deserves to be punished for what he did, right? Well, that's man's way of thinking, but I mean, even the Bible says in Luke chapter 18, right there, just before where we're at here in 19, but in 18, chapter 18, verse 25, Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so you think, well, there's no way he could be forgiven, go to heaven, right? But two verses down, Jesus said, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. So it don't matter what we've done in the past. What matters is whether or not we recognize that and repent of that. Because because Zacchaeus was a short man, he was very short, but he'd heard that Jesus was coming to town. And I'm sure he'd heard about all the miracles that Jesus had performed. You know, he had given sight to the blind. He had opened deaf ears. He had raised the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead after he'd been dead for 4 days. Brought him out of the grave alive. Zacchaeus had heard all these great miracles and had, I'm sure, seen the things that Jesus was doing. He had seen the way he had changed people's lives. He had seen people that were living a miserable, sinful life and seen them after they encountered Jesus Christ and seen the life change that took place and how they changed from living a miserable life to living a life of joy and satisfaction, of peace. And so, because Zacchaeus had seen all this, he had witnessed all this, he had heard about all these reports, Zacchaeus was interested in meeting this man that was performing all these miracles. But he was short, and he couldn't see. And he couldn't push his way through the crowd because, I mean, they didn't like him, so pretty dangerous for him to try to push through the crowd, right, to get up front. Because he'd have probably gotten beaten down shorter than what he was if he'd have tried to push through that crowd. And so he couldn't get to the front of the crowd so he could see. He couldn't see from behind the crowd because he was too short. And so he ran ahead and climbed up in a tree. Because he was determined to meet this man Jesus that he had heard about, that he had seen the effects of. He had seen the changed lives of people who had encountered Jesus Christ. He knew he was coming through Jericho and he was determined to see him and to meet him as he came through Jericho. And I'm afraid there are a lot of people today who really want to see Jesus and really want to meet him, but too many times professing Christians may be standing in the way and blocking their view by the things that they're doing and the lifestyles they're living, and those that are wanting to see Christ are hindered from getting to be able to see Him, to be able to meet Him, to be able to encounter Him. But Zacchaeus was determined enough that he ran ahead and climbed up in that sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. So, because of his determination, he wanted to see Him. He knew what Jesus had been doing. He had seen the change in people's lives. And he wanted to experience that change. He was living a miserable life. He was being ridiculed for, not only for his short stature, but for what he was doing to people. Robbing people and stealing. So, although he was short in stature and he was a chief tax collector and he was rich, he had to climb up in the tree to be able to see Jesus. But notice that Jesus knew his name. There's a song I heard a while back entitled, "He Knows My Name." It talks about how Jesus knows each and every one of us. He knows our name. He knew Zacchaeus. As a matter of fact, there in verse number 5, read these words, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Jesus didn't say, "Hey, you, whatever your name is." Jesus called him by name. He don't say, "Hey, you, whoever you are," when he calls on you. He knows your name. He knows not only your name. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30 says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Not only does he know how many hairs you have on your head, he knows that this morning when you combed your hair, hair number 983 and hair number 15,027 and hair number 12,036 fell out when you were combing your hair. He knows every hair by number. You say, "That's ridiculous." No, that's God. You see, God knows all about us. Not only does He know our name, but He knows everything about us. He knows, the Bible says again in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest or not made known in His sight." He knows you. He not only knows your name, not only does He know every hair by number, He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're doing. He knows what your thought process is. He knows what you're thinking right now. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Some of the thoughts we have sometimes, we say, "Ooh, I need to be careful what I'm thinking. God knows what I'm thinking." Well, God does know what you're thinking. Always. And so, yes, we do need to be careful the things that we're thinking, because God does know what we're thinking. So today, I remind you that Jesus knows your name. In your deepest, darkest hour, when you really think that nobody cares, nobody loves you, everybody's turned their back on you because you're different or because of what you've done in the past or for whatever reason it might be, and you really feel dejected and despondent, remember that Jesus knows your name. Not only does He know your name, but He loves you in spite of what you've done. He loves you in spite of how you're feeling. He loved Zacchaeus in spite of all his sin. Zacchaeus was guilty. He admits his guilt to Jesus. He was guilty, but Jesus loved him in spite of him. And he loves you today. He loves us just like we are, wherever we are. Now, he don't love the sin that we're involved in. He didn't love Zacchaeus' sin. He didn't love the fact that he was stealing from people. He was robbing people. But he still loved the person Zacchaeus. Because he hung on a cross after being beaten beyond recognition, after being falsely accused and ridiculed. You see, he knows a little bit about this being ridiculed and picked on and falsely accused and mistreated, because he was mistreated in the worst of the worst. He was beaten and falsely accused and called names and ridiculed and all sorts of things. And he willingly took that. Then he was hanged on the cross, where he gave his life to pay for the sins of Zacchaeus and for the sins of Mike and the sins of Greg and for the sins of every person that has ever been born and every person who ever will be born. He died to pay for our sin. He didn't die because of any sin he committed, because he was sinless. He'd never committed sin. But he died to pay for our sins. And so, he loves us. He loves us where we are. I'm so thankful for God's amazing grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so, it's because of His amazing grace that I'm able to stand here today and say that God has forgiven me of my sin. He saved me. And I'm on my way to heaven to spend eternity with Him. And I don't have to wait until I get to heaven to begin to enjoy that full and meaningful life. Jesus said, "I come that you can have life and have it more abundantly," in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's here and now. He intends for us to have a joy-filled life here and now. You say, "Well, then why do I have to go through so many troubles?" Well, He went through trouble. Is there any reason why we shouldn't? As a matter of fact, He tells us, "In this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And so, yes, we're going to have some difficult times. There are going to be some troubles, some trials, some tribulations. But the beauty part of that is, He's always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us to the end of the world. So when we're going through those difficult times, we can always know that we're never alone. When we feel the most lonely, the most dejected, the most hated, Jesus is always right there. He's right there with us to help us, to carry us through. And He can stop that ridicule and those things at any time He so desires. No one can do anything to you except He allow it. And if He allows it, it is for your strengthening and for His glory. And so, we need to realize, recognize that. You know, again, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. Many times we don't understand, can't see how in the world could this be working out for something good. But we don't know God. We don't have His mind. We can't see ahead and see how that's going to affect somebody else in the future that needs to see that and needs to see how we responded and reacted in that situation to demonstrate our faith in God, because that person's watching us to see if we're genuine or not. They're watching us to see what happens when we really face trials and when we just fall apart and, "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, where I'm going to go." Instead of saying, "God, I know you got a purpose for this. I know You're still in control, and I know You're with me, and I'm going to come out of this stronger. And whatever Your will is, that's what I want to be done. The people are watching us that we're not even aware of. And they're watching to see if we're genuine or if we're counterfeit. You know, and there's so many counterfeits out there today who fold everything every time Satan throws something at them. You know, how many churches? How many pastors? You know, close churches down? How many pastors would not go to the hospital to visit a person because they had COVID? Because they were scared of COVID? Does that not tell you something about the faith of that person? You know, the way we react to those things. Am I afraid of COVID? I'm not afraid of COVID. I've been blessed. And it's not because I'm anybody special. Because I know some of y'all have had a really hard time going through it. I've been blessed and God's protected me from it. Not because of who I am. But I can tell you I'm not afraid of it. I may have it this evening. If I do, God's got a purpose. And He'll be glorified through it. But I've received calls from the hospital, from families, wanting to know if I'm afraid of COVID because their loved one is dying in the hospital with COVID and their pastor won't come to visit and pray with him because he's afraid of COVID. Pastor, are you afraid of COVID? Absolutely not. I'll be there as quick as I can get there. Not because... Only because I know the God that I serve, and the God I serve is bigger than COVID, and He's bigger than anything else that Satan can throw at us. And people are watching us to see, what God are we serving? You know, are we really, do we really believe? You know? And our actions speak louder. And words, you know, the way we act and react tell volumes about what we believe about the God we serve. The God I serve has no impossibilities. He said, with men, this is impossible. He said that about the rich man, you know. Men, this is impossible, but with God, nothing's impossible. So, Jesus loved him in spite of what he had done. Jesus loves you in spite of what you've done. It don't matter what you've done. You may say, well, you know, I've done some really evil things. I've talked to people over the years. I've had people tell me that they really didn't believe that they could be saved because they fought in the war and they killed people. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. I had a man really struggle with that. He said, I don't believe God can forgive me because I've killed people. And I say, God will forgive you of whatever you've done. If you just repent and ask His forgiveness. He stands with open arms wanting to forgive you. And so He loves us in spite of what we've done. I'm glad that He loved me in spite of what I've done. Okay? And I'm glad He loves you in spite of what you've done. So, Zacchaeus was a short man. He was short in stature. He was a chief tax collector. He was rich. He had to climb a tree to see Jesus, but he was determined enough to do that. Jesus knew his name and loved him in spite of all that he had done. And then we find that Zacchaeus repented when Jesus invited him to come down there in verse number 5. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Verse 6 tells us, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus was excited because he experienced something that he had not experienced before. He had been rejected. He was hated by the people. And he found somebody that loved him. Somebody that really, genuinely wanted to spend time with him. And when Jesus invited him to come down, he called him, he said, come down quickly because I want to go to your house today. I'm so glad that many years ago, I didn't climb a tree to see Jesus. But I came down to an altar in a little church in Dozier, Alabama. And God called my name. Jesus called my name. He said, Mike, I want to go home with you tonight. And he did. And I've never been the same. Have I made mistakes? Oh, absolutely. Tons of them. I'm so thankful for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't become perfect just because we accept Christ. But we don't continue to live in sin. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, when we accept Christ as our Savior, He convicts us of sin. And so when we're guilty of committing sin, immediately the Holy Spirit convicts us. Boy, you know you've been doing that. I've been places. The Holy Spirit saying, boy, you know you don't belong here. You know you don't need to be here. And I couldn't enjoy those things. Seemed like everybody else is enjoying being there, but I couldn't enjoy because the Holy Spirit's knowing in my heart saying, you don't belong to be here. You don't belong to be involved in this. You know. Because that's the Holy Spirit that comes in and dwells in us when we truly, genuinely repent. Zacchaeus came down in a hurry and received him joyfully. He repented of his sin and immediately began to do what was right. He didn't ask Jesus to forgive him while he continued in sin. He had a genuine desire to live his life in a way that pleased the one who paid his sin debt. Too many people think they can join the church or be baptized and continue to live in sin. That's not salvation. Paul tells us in Romans 6, verse 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Genuine repentance results in change. You turn away from sin and you turn toward Jesus. You don't continue to live in sin. Because when you genuinely repent, you realize that Jesus suffered to pay for your sin. And you don't want to continue to make him suffer by continuing in sin. And so, he repented. He went on to say that, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. The proof's in the pudding. He actually did what he said he was going to do. He didn't continue to rob from people, and steal and lie about it. He changed because he wanted to honor the one who paid his sin debt. But the crowd complained because Jesus was spending time with the sinner. They were complaining because he was going to a sinner's house. They thought Zacchaeus was too sinful to be saved. He really didn't deserve to be saved. As a matter of fact, many of them probably didn't want him to be saved. They wanted him to get what he deserved. But none of them wanted to get what they deserved. Be honest with yourself this morning. Do you know some people that you think are too sinful to be saved? There's some people that you really hope get what they deserve. You ever made that statement? I sure hope he gets what's coming to him. Most of us have said that from time to time. But if we're genuine, we really don't want people to get what they deserve. We want them to repent and be saved. A man shot Charlie Kirk, a man of God. Terrible. Do we want him to get what he deserved? Oh, there are consequences to our actions in that he will receive. But do we really want him to get what he deserves? That's not what Charlie Kirk would want. He was all about sharing the gospel with people and seeing people changed, come to know Christ as their Savior. That person who's done something to you, no matter how bad it might have been, you know what we need to do for them? Pray for them. Love on them at every opportunity. Share Christ with them. The fact is that we all deserve death. We all deserve to be eternally separated from God. That's clear. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned. We fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the first part of that verse says, the wages or pay for sin is death. That's what we deserve, all of us. But the last part of that verse, chapter 6, verse 23, Romans says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we desire. And that's what we ought to desire for every person that we know or don't know. Don't write a person off because of their sin. Don't write a person off because of their inabilities. Pray for them. Love on them. Share Jesus with them. God loves them. He wants to save them. If you're here today and you've never experienced that, Jesus is here today. Don't have any trees for you to climb up. You don't have to climb a tree. All you got to do is simply say, Lord, here I am, a sinner in need of salvation. Forgive me. Take control of my heart. And help me to live for you from this day forward. It's simple. But it's life-changing. Father, I love you today. I thank you so much for loving me. God, I thank you that I don't have to get what I deserve because I know what I deserve. And Lord, I thank you that nobody has to get what they deserve because you have paid the price. You have made available the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness, so that no one has to go to hell to be separated from you for eternity. But it's a choice that we have to make. And so many people have made that choice to reject you, and they will suffer the consequence of that rejection. God, I pray that no one here rejects you, but that we trust you. We accept that gift of your salvation. If there's one here that's never done that, I beg and plead with you, Lord. Holy Spirit, convict and draw them and help them right now to call out to you And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music is playing just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. We can't clean ourselves up. We can't do that. We just got to come just like we are and allow Him to clean us up. He'll do that if we'll just simply come to Him, allow that. If you're here this morning and there's a need in your heart, maybe you've never been saved, you need to be. I'd be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. I'll pray with you. Maybe you're here and you've asked the Lord to save you, but you've strayed away. You've allowed Satan to distract and discourage you, and you're not living the life that you know you ought to be living. You're not living a life that exemplifies Christ. You need to. Would you just come forward and allow me to pray with you? Maybe there are other needs. Somebody needs to join the church. Somebody needs to commit to what the Lord's been dealing with your heart about. Whatever it is, we're not going to tarry and wait and wait. But if God's spoken to your heart, you need to move and do that quickly. Anyone before we close? Anyone?